Hello and welcome back to the Azeem Digital Ask all-round digital marketing podcast, which you can get in audio and video form on YouTube and Spotify video. What a topic today. It is a topic that I haven't covered on the podcast yet, so I'm very, very excited for that. But I'm more excited to speak to my incredible guest, Lydia, who I will allow her to give a better introduction shortly. But before I get into that, something that I need to mention. I don't think I've ever mentioned it on any recording before, but I was told recently to stop being so modest and basically humble brag about it. This podcast is now rated in the top 10 in UK digital marketing podcasts and top 20 overall. So people really like it. That's not possible without you, the viewers, and you, the listeners. So thank you very much for doing that. And as always, please like, rate, share, and subscribe. When you've done that, go outside, walk down the road, seven doors down, knock on the door and tell them about this podcast. And if they're not into marketing, YOLO. Anyway, let's move on. We're talking about TikTok and we're talking about understanding TikTok. Lydia, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello. I'm super excited to be here.
I am
on the
very,
top
very
rated top 10 podcast in the UK for marketing. Good job.
A lot of hard work, but it's not possible without wonderful listeners and wonderful guests like yourself. So we're talking all about understanding TikTok. Not the sound that a clock makes, but the popular social media platform that has literally taken the world by storm. And I don't think there's anybody better to talk about it than you. But the viewers and listeners have not come here to listen or hear from me. So before we get into it, please give the people who may or also may not know you, shame on them, please follow her immediately, a wonderful introduction to yourself, my friend.
Of course. Hi, I'm Lydia Infante. I'm from Barcelona. I'm the senior SEO manager at Sanity.io. I've been in SEO for about 8 years right now, in marketing for about 10. I've been working in SaaS, in e-commerce. I sort of like specialize in international, but my whole jam is strategy. So that's what we're here for.
Boom. Love that. Typically, I would start with the question, oh, what is TikTok? But if you don't know what TikTok is, hit pause on this podcast and ask yourself some questions. If you're in marketing, I don't know what TikTok is, oh, honestly. And also, I didn't mention, in the last episode, I said I was moving house. I'm still moving house. It's a mess behind me. YOLO, we move. Let's talk TikTok, Lydia. So you've put out a couple of brilliant pieces of content, which I'll absolutely link to in the show notes. If you haven't read some of the work that Lydia's done, definitely check out this episode and then go and check the work that she's done, because I know that she's put a lot of hard work into this. When it comes to understanding TikTok, a lot of it and a lot of noise in the industry is around, you know, search behavior, and people are searching on TikTok now and what else. But for yourself, I wanted to start by asking, how do you find that search behavior differs from TikTok and Google?
So essentially, on TikTok, you've got two behaviors. You've got active search and you've got content discovery. Content discovery is when you're scrolling, hoping that the algorithm is going to do its magic and show you the beautiful stuff. Active search is when either you go onto TikTok and you want to learn about something specific. So for example, my very first TikTok search was about a year ago when a plant of mine was dying and I needed to repot it, right? Plant's still alive, but I just went on TikTok because a 60-second video of someone doing exactly what I want to do is a lot more like what I needed at the moment. And it saves me many clicks because I don't have to go on the SERPs and then find a how-to or YouTube or whatever and then watch however many ads. I'll just like TikTok it and figure it out. Content search, active search can also be when you're on a TikTok video during your content discovery activity. And you have several ways of reaching active search. So one of them is a little thing on the bottom that says search, and then the keyword that TikTok relates to the video. So when you click that little black thing that looks exactly like the playlist type of UI, you are sent to a search. You can also go onto like a search-like UI by clicking on the hashtags, or for a while, I haven't seen it in some time now, I think it was an experiment, keywords tagged on the comments of the video would take you to a search as well.
Boom. So that leads very nicely into my next question, which you sort of answered, but I'd love for you to elaborate more on. So I was literally at a conference very recently where people were saying that TikTok is taking market share from Google. Why do you think that is?
I love this question because it touches on psychology. And I do a terrible job of introducing myself every time, but I actually have a BSc in psychology and a master's degree in business. So I kind of love mixing them both. Right. So, first of all, TikTok is taking some market share out of Google, but it is not becoming the new Google. It is not the search engine of Gen Z. It's not the new Google because TikTok will never be a good search engine for factual information. TikTok is a good search engine for information that, whether or not it's true or whether or not it's accurate, it's not going to have a your money or your life type of impact on you. But the reason that people search has to do a bunch with psychology. We are scrolling around on TikTok. We are building trust. We trust the app because the recommendation algorithm is so good. And I know that we're going to touch on that later. But we know that TikTok has the answers, and we know that TikTok has provided us with a lovely new restaurant to try out in London, or a recipe for pasta in the past when we weren't looking. So now that we are looking, we have a positive bias towards searching on TikTok. So yeah, I think that would be the reason that people are moving to TikTok. It's just like easy and convenient, and you don't have to click back. When you're on Google and you try a result and it doesn't yield what you wanted, you click back and then you are back on the SERPs and then you click on the next result. And that creates friction, right? On TikTok, you just scroll, 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 and you lose almost no time because you can clearly tell. And there is social proof on the platform. So if you're not sure if the hack works or doesn't, you go on the comments and someone has tried it, right? Or you can check if the video has been stitched or duet with, how many likes it has, if the content creator typically writes or, well, not writes, typically talks about that subject. So it's really easy to figure out whether or not you trust the creator. Yeah, that's the reason.
Boom, solid gold already, and we are not even 10 minutes in. Thank you very much for sharing that. You mentioned there, and also before I ask this question, it's wonderful that you sort of sit where SEO and TikTok, you can look at both and apply learnings from both. But I don't want to talk too much. This episode is about you. So when it comes to like behaviors, I know you mentioned how people behave on the SERP, they don't find what they want, they go back. In terms of TikTok, what sort of behaviors have you noticed that sort of people display on there?
I would say it's just like the main division, and what I can confidently tell from a marketer's perspective is active search versus content discovery. I'm sure there are more, but unless we took a bunch of like users and put them in a room and did like a market study, it would be just guesswork to say that there's others or to try and divide them between others.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the main question before I'm going to start picking your brains about the algorithm, how does all this impact SEO? Everything you've just mentioned, how does this impact SEO?
So in several ways, mainly two. TikTok has done a big push on getting itself on the SERPs, right? Its visibility has skyrocketed. You can look this up on any of your favorite SEO tools. But if you go on Semrush and you analyze a domain, you can see how it goes up, up. And it has a few different pages. So it's trying to rank on Google for its topics, its hashtags, and its sounds, right? The topics would be what we would typically consider a keyword. And it's really unclear how TikTok clusters those topics, because sometimes you find like really well clustered, non-duplicate topics. Sometimes you find stuff that's like duplicated a million times. It's also quite interesting because the biggest source of traffic for TikTok on some countries are porn-related queries, which is not allowed on TikTok. So I'm really curious as to how this even happens. I've been like having a perusal, and the word porn is nowhere to be found on those videos. But then when I started diving into the documentation of how TikTok evaluates video content for moderation and stuff, it does actually recognize visually concepts and body parts. And this is like literally put like this on the TikTok documentation within the video that helps it understand what the video is about. So something in those videos tells TikTok it's porn. Anyway, I've digressed. So the videos are showing up on the SERPs just like they are when you are creating on YouTube, just like Pinterest on the SERPs was a thing a few years ago. That's one of the ways that it impacts us. And another way that it impacts us is that obviously it's taken search from Google onto TikTok. That's something that we don't know how to do. We're not comfortable with. I think SEOs have not mastered the art of video as much as we should have, right? Because we're pretty narrowed into our written format text kind of thing. But I'm a firm believer that the SEO's job is not text-based or Google-based, is put the content of the brand where the user is searching for it. So it really kind of like requests a shift of the mindset for some industries, not all. If you're in banking, don't even bother. If you're in health, don't even bother. Or do, but like you're risking being like mixed in with a lot of like snake oil salespeople, right? So if you're in like DIY decoration, if you're selling paint, lately my algorithm is showing me a bunch of people selling paint. You're probably going to have a lot of success in the platform. So typically it's the same industries that had success on Pinterest. So I would say food, travel, DIY, gardening, home related stuff, searches that are really well answered with a visual query. I've also done e-commerce searches on the platform, and I've seen that this is something that's happening more and more. When I was looking for my home office setup, I wanted to figure out like what was the best mouse and what was the best keyboard and the best chair. The best way that I found to do this was not to go onto like the reviews of TechRadar or whatever, but to actually see people who had the same problem as me and tried different things and figured it out, right? I could see them holding the mouse. I could see them assembling the chairs. I could see them sitting on the chairs. I would get a good feeling of like what they looked like, how they moved. So yeah, there is a surge in searches that are going to be happening on the platform. I wonder if SEOs are ready for it. I
Yeah,
know I'm
absolutely.
not.
Is anybody? Before we move on, I'm going to ask you a question on a topic that I haven't really prepared you for, but your answer has just made me think of it there. So, in the scenario that you just described, you're looking for something, you're looking for a product, you've gone on TikTok. The case of your mouse, for example, you've gone on TikTok and watched a video about that mouse. How does that differ from? So we've got like YouTube reviews already where you've got Joe or Jane blogs in front of a camera. Hi, I'm going to do a review of a mouse today. How do you find that is different? How is that different to TikTok in your experience?
It's so much shorter, so much more to the point. It's even fun sometimes. It's not a guy going like, yeah, and thank you to so and so for sending me this free mouse for my computer. Now I'm gonna proceed to open the box. As we can see, it's a square box, right? No, thank you.
Love that, love that. So basically, authenticity and the length. Yeah, brilliant. Let's move on to the algorithm then. And before I pick your brains on it, you've done a brilliant study, which I mentioned at the start. I will drop a link in the show notes. What made you then think, right, I've looked at TikTok, I've looked at SEO, now I want to move on to the algorithm. So what inspired that for you?
So as SEOs, we're kind of like algorithm obsessed, right? Like our very origins were like hacking around the algorithm and trying to figure out like what is Google wanting, what is going on. at the beginning of my time in SEO, Google was a lot less transparent with this sort of stuff. So there was a lot of guesswork, which obviously then goes on and applies to everything that we do. And as a user on TikTok, I use it quite a lot. I love it. I'm definitely biased in that way. And I know that all of my information is being harvested and sent to like spies in China. But the memes are amazing. So just sell my information. I don't care. I was using it. And suddenly, like, the content relates to me so well. And I'm like, there's nothing that I have put in this app that would tell you I'm into cross-stitching, right? I've not interacted with like cross-stitching accounts. I've not looked out cross-stitching content, but all of a sudden, like an amazing cross-stitchy thing comes on screen. And I quite like a specific type of cross-stitching. I'm not like too grandma style. I'm more like rude, sweary cross-stitching.
That's amazing. If you're listening and not watching, Lydia's just held up a piece of cross-stitching that says, you can tell the listeners what it says.
It says, be fucking kind. the whole house is covered in cross-stitching pieces, that's where. And that's kind of niche, okay? So like the moment that pops up, I'm like, all right, how did TikTok know? I start thinking about it, and I was like, well, I interact with IKEA content. IKEA content is attractive to people who are into DIY. DIY crafts, like it just makes sense. And maybe combined with like my taste in like memes and humor, or my demographics and my age. TikTok knows I'm not a grandma, right? So it's not that hard to think I might be interested in it. So TikTok tries to offer you like the content that you're going to enjoy. I was also listening to a podcast a while back. There was this big podcast series called Reply All. It was quite famous for a while. I think they're not active anymore. And they did one podcast on the TikTok algorithm. And they essentially brought on a woman on a show that had a very rare medical condition that she had discovered the name of, because her doctors didn't know the name of. They just knew that she had something. Apparently she couldn't burp, and instead of burping, she would release gas in like a very painful, slow kind of cackle way. That's such a weird thing to bring up on this podcast. I'm sorry, Azim. But I was so curious, because I was just starting out on being like a little bit more active on TikTok when this episode came out. And I thought like, okay, like she's being set on cohorts, and TikTok is managing to diagnose people by setting them on cohorts. That is insane. If we went inside the data and found the correlations of this stuff, we would have like such a wealth of scientific knowledge that I would be like amazed to like dig into. But yeah, that made me really curious to understand how how TikTok ends up knowing us better than we know ourselves. Mm. So yeah, that's what got me into it. Then when I realized that, oh shit, maybe my job's going to change and I need to understand how the TikTok algorithm works, I'm going to go and try and be like the first to know about it. So I got really curious and started digging around.
Love that. And before I move on to, the ranking facts of TikTok, I'm going to ask you, when you got to the end of that, what did you learn about the algorithm? Did you find out anything that you didn't expect to find out?
I found something that I didn't expect to find out. So I thought there's a line on the algorithm documentation on TikTok that I find it's unhinged. It says, it says something around like not all engagement is created equal. And one of the examples that it provides is whether or not the creator and the user are geographically close. How is that a ranking factor? That is wild. A proximity between users and creators is a ranking factor on TikTok.
Wow. Okay.
Like, well, physical proximity.
This is a perfect segue into you telling the viewers and listeners, what are the main ranking factors on TikTok?
Yeah. So the first thing that I wanted to do when I started like digging into it was to understand what's driving the TikTok algorithm, right? Like, what are they aiming to do? And currently, like, all social media and different platforms are competing for our attention. So that one was pretty simple to understand. But luckily, TikTok has been quite transparent with their algorithm as well. Considering they're like such early starts, it's really showing up some other platforms on transparency. So I went in, dug in, and TikTok had two main principles: surfacing content that you're going to find interesting, and bursting echo chambers. So bursting echo chambers, essentially, if you're always engaging with the same content, you're only going to see the same content. If I start engaging with cross-stitching accounts, then my entire TikTok feed becomes about cross-stitching, and then it becomes boring, and I leave the platform, and they lose money. So they want to make sure that I stay engaged. They throw in videos that you've never engaged with, topics that you've never engaged with before, and new content that no one has seen yet, right, into your feed. And that's how they gain more knowledge about what you like and what you don't, as well as provide like a nice little boost for new creators or evaluate how some videos are performing when they're just launched. I found that really, really interesting, like the surfacing interesting topics and bursting the filter bubble effect.
Yeah.
But then when they're talking about surfacing interesting topics, that means that Google, it's the SEO habit. It means that TikTok does something to understand what is the topic in the videos. So I looked at it and I thought, there is a process of TikTok looking at the videos and trying to see what they're about. And then there's a process of TikTok evaluating how the users are interacting with the videos to understand whether or not these are good videos, right?
Yeah.
So first they need to evaluate the content to be able to classify it, and then they need to evaluate the engagement to evaluate the quality of it. So yes, I just did a really deep dive onto this, okay? This has been like many hours of going on to... Well, first I've looked at their official documentation on their TikTok algorithm transparency newsroom, which was fun and like pretty good. But then I realized that I was missing some information. So I decided to dig a little deeper. For example, when my husband got on TikTok, we opened his TikTok account and we started seeing like very British laddie lads, like being all British and showing cars. And then we saw sexy teenagers in bikinis, the thing that like TikTok likes to show men on the platform. You know, like most men who sign up to the platform, they see like really young girls dancing in like very little clothes. So that's what TikTok assumes that you're going to like based on your demographics data, which is what they have at the time. And then the TikTok algorithm kept refining the content, and he ended up liking it so much that he had to delete it because it became like a time black hole. But I found that quite interesting. I'm just curious. It's been like curiosity that's driven me to understand this. So how did they know my husband's demographics? I went into the legal and privacy bits to understand what is the data that they're actually gathering from your phone, and what is the kind of data that they say that they process about you, right? So age, gender, I think they put it as geographic origin or something like that, which is the way that platforms are now saying that they process your ethnicity or your ethnic background. They were talking also about location. And when it came to location, because I was obsessed about the other line about creator and user proximity, they were saying that they use your GPS location if you've given permission, your IP address, your mobile carrier, and different bits of information like this. That's to say, I've read the technical documentation for developers, the documentation for advertisers, the public documentation on their algorithm, and the legal documents that are available on the TikTok website, those legal documents and technical documentation change from country to country. So I've also compared like what they say they do in the US versus what they say they do in the UK. They harvest a little less data here. They also have an EU English version where you can see that they harvest even less data if you're in the EU. But that was the source for this. So essentially, combining my time doing social media marketing with my general experience in SEO and all of that documentation, I figured out eight main ranking factors for TikTok. The very first one is super basic video engagement. You know, do you click? Do you watch it all the way through? Do you click like? Do you share it? Some creators on the platform say that even having someone copy the link, even if you are not gonna actually like send it anywhere, just copying the link of the video increases their reach.
Guilty.
Oh, really? That's nice. Do you find that it does actually help with the reach?
I copy stuff with the intention of sending it to my
Yeah.
friends. The latter never happens. Something always gets in the way. But luckily, I won't talk too much. But on Android, your clipboard holds multiple things, and it's
Yes.
just literally a list of links
Oh, I'm an Android girl too.
that
Yes. Totally. So I go in there, I
I've
copy the links because some people don't have TikTok, like my husband. So when I need him to see a TikTok video or a funny cut or whatever, I go copy the link and share it on WhatsApp. So yeah, that is quite a behavior. So yeah, engagement is one of the main ranking factors on TikTok. Then we also have Discover tab engagement. So it's not just video engagement on the video on your feed, but if you're on the Discover tab, so you've clicked on a hashtag, you've made a search, the videos that you engage with are going to feed information to TikTok on whether you're interested in the topic or not. So earlier I said there were like two dimensions to evaluation. It was understanding what the video is about, and then understanding if the video is good. You also have a third dimension of understanding what topics a user is interested in. So yes, the Discover tab engagement is going to help TikTok determine whether the video is good and whether or not you're interested in that topic. And then TikTok analyzes the content of the video, and it does this with the video visuals. So they use a visual AI, and they say that they detect and collect characteristics and features about the video and audio. They also use the textual audio, so the words spoken. TikTok can process that. Also, the text that you put over the video. So if you're using like manual captions, or if you're annotating your video to make it a little funnier or more of an explanation, TikTok can see that and evaluate whether or not the video pertains to a topic based on that. It also relies quite heavily on the use of the caption, the title of the video, and its hashtags, and the TikTok sounds. The TikTok sounds have become kind of a meme structure on themselves. And you know, if you've got like the I don't want no teeny weeny men video, it's going to be like a funny video. And sorry, people who are not on TikTok are going to be so shocked. Or like the old sound that was popular like maybe a year or two ago that said like, can we skip to the good part when two people are falling in love and oh, suddenly they're married. Okay, like that the sounds, the TikTok sounds, not the actual sound that's recorded in the video, have meanings to TikTok. And that helps the platform understand what the video is about. Also, there's like some preferences that you can set up on your account. And you do this like once when you set it up, when you open it, you never think about it again. So when I saw that pop up, I was like really curious about it. You've got device language, so you can set up your preferred languages. You essentially said you're prompted to set every language that you speak in there. And then you're prompted to set your preferred language. So I have like Spanish and Catalan and English as preferred. And I'm only shown content in those languages. I'm never shown content in French or whatever, which is obvious, but I hadn't thought about it that much. Then you also have device suitability, which is, I would say, if we had to make a parallel between SEO and classic SEO and TikTok SEO, would be like the core web vitals of your video. So if the video is too long and TikTok doesn't understand that your network can take such a long video, it's unlikely that they're going to show this to you. Or if the video is very heavy, and TikTok doesn't think your device can like process that, that video is less likely to come up to your For You page. And based on TikTok documentation, like they receive information about your device based on like your user agent, your mobile carrier, time zone settings. They know the model and operating system of your device, the screen resolution. So that's something that you also optimize for. And they're quite insistent on their advertisers section that you need to care about, and the battery state or audio settings. So if you're like, I don't know how they actually action it, but I can imagine that if your audio is off, they'll show you stuff that has captions always, right? So it seems super interesting, and I think I learned this bit by going onto the legal section of the website, and I was fascinated. Another ranking factor we've already mentioned, it's the creator locality. So if the creator is close to the other, the user, that's a positive ranking factor, but TikTok doesn't explain very well how they measure this. So is this by like plane distance? Is this by like, are they in the same country or the same city or the same time zone, right? Like they're harvesting so much data. We don't really know how they use this. It is super secretive, and I found the fact that it was just a tiny line in the documentation completely unhinged, and I am obsessed with this ranking factor now. You also have the ranking factor, and people who were doing social media in like 2015 are gonna remember, native content creation is favored by some social media platforms. So at the time, I was working in for a publisher, and our marketing department had analyzed that if we were creating our posts directly on Facebook and not through a third-party post scheduler, we would get more reach. So Facebook was favoring native content creation. We also saw native content creation being favored on LinkedIn. So not linking out to other content and creating the content within the platform. And when Instagram created Instagram Reels, they also went on to say, watermarks from other platforms will be demoted in our algorithm, which is code for don't repost the stuff that you've posted on TikTok, because we're actually only sending more brand awareness to TikTok if you do that, because it comes with a TikTok watermark. That is favored by some social media. And then we've got like an anti-ranking factor, which is ineligible content. You've got the basics there that you can expect, like violence, gory, porn, predatory type of content. But then some bits surprise me. So content uploaded by users under 16 is not eligible to go on your For You page. It's probably not relevant to us marketers. But if you're trying to be funny and you're like, oh yeah, my company is 2 years old, and you said your company is 2 years old, well, probably you're not even allowed to set it that young. But you're gonna hinder your own success because it's not gonna show up on anyone's For You page. Then content that includes QR codes is banned, because then TikTok doesn't get. My theory on that is that TikTok, if you are able to link out of TikTok in ways that are not controlled by TikTok, you're able to make affiliate revenue in ways where TikTok doesn't get its cut, right? So I think that's why TikTok is so, I don't know, I don't want to say mindful, like prepared to ban you if you include a QR code. Also, content that manipulates users into engaging with the video. I don't know if you'll remember this, like this era on Instagram times where they'd be like, tap twice to see something beautiful happen. And then the only thing you were doing was like click like, or that kind of content is manipulating users into engaging, or like having a play button on a Twitter image is creating interaction that's not real. You thought there was a video, but there isn't. So that is the type of behavior that TikTok disencourages. Duplicated content is also like the moated, but also content that features any type of smoking tobacco. Tobacco? Yep. It's not allowed. So I find it quite interesting. I thought this deep dive on the TikTok documentation was a wild ride.
Amazing. Incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that. Definitely one that I'll be coming back to for sure. Conscious of time, and I know you're a very busy person because you're absolutely everywhere. Rightly so as well. There's a couple of things I want to ask you before we part ways. The first one is something that I thought about while you were giving your last answer there, and I'm more keen to hear your opinion on this more than anything. It seems to be very easy, for example, if I was a TikTok creator to spread disinformation on there. For example, I could be a huge influencer, huge content creator. I could have hundreds of thousands of followers, and one day I could just get out of bed and decide to say, toothpaste is bad. Toothpaste will ruin your teeth. Never use toothpaste again. How do you think TikTok basically controls, or what do you think TikTok can do to stop disinformation being spread like that?
Many platforms are having that challenge right now. I don't think anyone has figured it out, but I think algorithm-based content discovery platforms are more screwed than any other platform in that regard. So we've got YouTube and we've got TikTok as examples. Due to like human nature, human psychology, we're more likely to engage with content that evokes a strong emotion in us. So like it's really easy to create content that makes us angry or afraid. We're gonna engage with that more. We're going to be set on these cohorts where we're shown more content that makes us angry or afraid, and we're going to see this, and it's going to result in radicalization. We are already seeing this, right? Like with the COVID pandemic, the issues around misinformation on those platforms have absolutely blown up, and they're on everyone's mind right now. I cannot say what TikTok can do about it, because it seems extremely tricky to identify misinformation and remove it from like the wider content. But like engagement algorithm based platforms are going to have a really bad time sorting out this problem. And TikTok's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be the first one to solve it for sure. You have to be very mindful of misinformation can be spread on the platform, and never trust TikTok for your money or your life type of queries or content.
Good stuff. Absolutely. Thank you very much. So, based on all the information that you have shared with us today, and again, thank you so much for taking the time to do that. If people are listening to or watching this, and depending on wherever they are with TikTok in their journey, if they're just starting, go include TikTok, but maybe don't consider it as much. What advice would you give to listeners to take away? What can they do next? What are the next steps for people after hearing or seeing this?
I would say probably get on TikTok, take a look at what the algorithm is showing you, have a read through my TikTok algorithm ranking factors, and consider how you can maybe help your business or your clients by applying that knowledge onto your practice. But absolutely do not dismiss it. If you have children, if any of the listeners have children, you can probably see them on TikTok day in, day out. And they are engaged in the platform.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for taking the time to share with the listeners and viewers the results of your work. And as mentioned, I will drop links to them in the show notes. Before we part ways, please let people who are watching or listening know, how can they find out more about you? How can they follow you? Where can they ask you any follow-up questions?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Lydia Infante M, or you can find me on my website at lydia-infante.com, and I'm always up for a chat.
Brilliant, and I can verify that Lydia is a wonderful person, someone who I'm very grateful to call a friend, and she's off on her honeymoon very soon. So enjoy a hard-earned break, my friend, and thank you so much for taking the time out again today to share some wonderful stuff with the viewers and listeners. I really, really appreciate you doing that. For
Thank
the
you so much
listeners,
for having me. Like, you're such an icon.
I wouldn't go that far, but thank you very much. That does mean a lot, certainly coming from yourself. Thank you so much for the listeners and viewers. Thank you so much for being with us on this episode. If you're on Spotify, I will drop a poll in the show notes. I will drop two, actually. One, if you enjoyed this episode, please press yes. If you didn't enjoy it, don't bother. And then secondly, you might have noticed that kept a beard now. I don't like it, but everybody else seems to like it. I genuinely think that I look like a Malteser with hair. she's laughing now. If you think I should keep it, press yes. If you think I shouldn't, press no. But ultimately, thank you so much for sharing what you've done today, Lydia. For the listeners, viewers, we will be back on the next episode. As always, please like, rate, share, and subscribe. And thank you once again for being with us.